Welcome to Café y Chisme. I'm Myra, and I'm here with...
Ivan,
Franco,
and Vicky.
Brew your coffee and join us in today's chisme.
Today, we're going to talk about the art of communication in relationships.
This is a good topic.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Hooray.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Let's talk about foundations for a relationship first. What makes for a good relationship, a successful relationship? What do you think, Vicky?
Clarity.
Okay.
Communication.
Myra.
Respect.
Ivan.
Accountability.
Trust. I think having all those absolutely makes for a good foundation for any relationship. How do you get to trust? How do you get to accountability? How do you get to effective communication? How do you get to
all these great things? I would say it all comes down to the communication.
Well, I think it starts with building that relationship first, having that relationship with somebody where you trust them and you know that whatever they're going to tell you, it's because they truly care about you. And I think that that's how effective communication, you both respect each other and you're willing to listen to each other and not necessarily take it personal.
And it doesn't have to be companion or anything. It's all relationships, because you have to build that trust. You have to get to know that person so you can feel comfortable being able to communicate effectively.
So let me go back. You said, being able to communicate effectively. How do you communicate effectively, being honest with a person without hurting their feelings? I think that right now I'm in a position right now where I really want to be honest with some of my family members, but I don't know how to do it in a way that I'm not going to hurt them. If I say it very bluntly the way I'm thinking it, it's definitely going to hurt some people's feelings.
I would say ask Myra that question, because I know that she's kind of helped me navigate through communicating her family, because I can relate to you, because I'm a straightforward person and I really just call it like it is. And it's a pro and con, because it's a pro because the feeling is valid, but it's also a con in the way of just letting your emotions get the best of you. Remember, I think the key is building that relationship. So for a relationship to grow, there has to be that trust. And, I think Myra has helped me kind of navigate that, where I think I'm a lot better now than I was before. But I don't know, you tell us, Myra, because I know you've given me a lot of advice.
For me, I think when you have valid feelings and you... if you approach it, I think, in more a conversation instead of just straight going into it this is how I'm feeling, I have an issue, then it automatically sets the energy, and maybe more negative than positive. So if you just, you're talking in conversation and you start kind of bringing up those things that you want to talk about this or whatever, and what you're saying is valid, right? But it's how you say it that will make somebody either shut down or get defensive. And then what you're saying, they're not even listening. They're already turned off by what you're saying. They don't want to listen to what you have to say because they feel attacked. So I think it's just going into it in a conversation and being calm and letting the other person voice their feelings too, and just validating their feelings as well.
So how do you address that conflict? Do you wait until the right quote unquote time, or do you address it right then and there? And obviously, if you're hurt, if you're feeling some sort of way like I am right now, I definitely want to say, I want to be you are doing this, you are doing that. Why are you feeling like this? Why are you saying this? It's very much putting blame on that person, right? So how would you switch it over to where it not necessarily takes the blame away, but it doesn't feel like I'm attacking them?
Right. I think by telling them, like, this is how you made me feel. This is how I'm feeling. And then that person can say, well, that's not, those were not my intentions. Or, well, I felt that way because you were, you said this or you did that. So I think it's coming from like, you did this, you did that, instead of being like, that's how I felt. Like, that's how I took it. Because the other person could be like, oh, I apologize. Like, I really didn't mean it that way. Or, well, I acted that way because I felt you did something that made me feel that way. You know what I mean? But to me, I think it's just not like waiting for a time where you're not on the defense mode as much as you want to be, because that it's not like, I don't know, healthy communication, I guess. Like, it's, I think you should just wait whenever you're, you know, a little bit more calm.
Yeah, I think it also depends on, so you asked like, when is a good time? Like, it depends, because it can be a good time to address it real time, depending on the personalities. If it's two individuals that are able to have that conversation right away, that can be effective. But like, I know for me personally, like, I would probably have to wait a little bit, because I think in the moment, like, the emotions can run high and it can really just end up being a negative thing and nothing's going to get resolved, you know, in that moment. So it's just really, you know, your relationship with that other person, really how you can address it.
I think another thing that goes hand in hand with like good timing, as Yvonne was discussing, would be knowing your audience. And I think with that comes like understanding what is the best approach with a specific person. When is, you know, what is a better way to communicate something? Because I have found that I may communicate the exact same words to person A in a particular tone, and then I have to communicate those exact same words completely different to person B, and different people, you know, are receptive in different ways. And I think you can really get the upper hand in knowing the audience before you present whatever conversation you want to have with that audience. And also, if both parties can be active listeners in a conversation, that goes a long way. And sometimes, you know, it might even be helpful to say, you know, I want to have a conversation and I want us to both have an opportunity to speak and really hear each other out. If you want to start the conversation with that, I think that could be a really good lead into setting what the standard is in the conversation. And then you really committing to that, being an active listener, which, what is an active listener? I think an active listener entails really hearing out the other individual and really, really allowing them to elaborate as much as they need to. And if I'm hearing them, but I'm not understanding, try to ask some questions to make sure that I'm understanding everything that is being said in that moment. And I think if you come in as an active listener, and then the other party can also be an active listener, the conversation goes a long way.
I think you're right about that, because you can come in really hot into whatever the situation is, and it's like there's no listening. Like, at that point, it's like you, even though that person's trying to talk, it's like you, the situation is what it is, and you're already, your mind is made up, you're upset about it, and it's like basically going in full attack mode. Well, nothing gets resolved that way. But it also depends on how egregious the the situation or whatever happened, right? Because if it was fully, you know, egregious, then maybe it is something you address, and maybe the emotions can be valid in that moment. But if it's something, depending on the scenario, where you can kind of take a step back and it's like, oh, maybe I need to address this at a better time, or maybe, you know, you know, I need to take a different approach on how to do it.
So I really like everything you are saying. Really, it's actually calming me down, truly make me think deeply about my words here. Would you set your boundaries at the beginning of the conversation, or would you set your boundaries as you're progressing in that conversation with this person? I'm afraid that I'll have this conversation, or I'll definitely speak my mind, and that'll just create a rift that may or may not be able to be fixed. You know, right now, Vegan and I don't have kids, and who knows if when we have kids, that rift will be, you know, will be closed, or will be, you know, smaller, or there won't be a rift anymore because now there's an innocent person involved in the relationship with our family. So I'm just wondering, how would I set that boundary up now so that the future isn't necessarily affected, or does it not matter?
I think you can do like a little disclaimer, you know, like, I really value our relationship and our friendship, and I want us to be able to come and communicate when we've hurt each other's feelings, or we're upset with each other, that there is this open communication that you are welcome to address it with me, and that I can come to you because you're important in our lives. And I want us to like not have to like there to be tension. Like, I want us to all get along. And I just think that addressing that, like, yeah, like a little disclaimer at the beginning about it.
I think it's good to set boundaries because like, it's also who you are too, right? Like, I think the thing about all this is everybody's different. Everybody has different views, opinions, way of how they were raised. So I think setting boundaries early in the conversation, I mean, I think that is something important. I know that's something that I've done and maybe hasn't came across the right way, but I've learned over time, like, how to, you know, be able to communicate the things that I want to get across so they understand, you know, me a little bit better.
I will say too, to add to that, it's never too late to set boundaries. I think it's a lot of times you have a conversation and you realize maybe the conversation didn't go as well as you expected it to. That isn't the end all be all. Like, there's always an opportunity to, you know, if you're ever in a conflict with someone, you can always start to set the boundaries. And, you know, the sooner you do it, essentially the better. It goes a long way. And stick to your boundaries too. You know, don't just set a boundary and then not stick to it, because nonverbal communication is also communication. So actions are communication as well, and those can speak louder than words.
I got a lot of nonverbal communication sometimes.
I think it's good also to know that your partner's friends, if they have an issue with you, that they know that they can address it with you. They don't have to put your partner in the middle of it and then be the middleman having to go back and forth, like trying to fix that friendship or that relationship. I think that, and that goes with family as well. Like, if it's your partner's family, that, you know, that you can address it with each other, that they know that they don't put the other person, if they have an issue with specifically you or your partner, that they know that they can address it with them directly.
How did you guys become effective communicators in your own relationship?
Ooh, that's taken a lot of time for sure. But I think it's just really understanding each other. Like, we're different. Like, Myra and I, like me, I show it nonverbal, and I'm a person that speaks my mind. I'm very direct. And like I mentioned earlier, it's a pro and a con, because I think what I learned over time is, like, you know, the people where there have been issues, like, I do care about them, right? I don't want them to be hurt or upset. So I have learned how to be able to communicate it a little bit better, even though it's not still not perfect. I think it comes across a lot better now. And to where Myra, she's non-confrontational. So she's kind of been the peacekeeper and the mediator between families, or where she's able to kind of handle it a little bit better than me. But how would you, what would you say to that?
But I think like communication with like me and you, I think it's still like, it's like learning. Like you still, like, even though we've been together for a long time, like it still changes, like depending on your mood or depending on how your day went or whatever. Sure. And I think that we're still learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about us, babe?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, part of us is having built that friendship first, having been able to become friends first and really learn who each other was without, you know, the romantic side of that. And then being in a relationship, one of the first things I told you was like, look, I need you to tell me exactly what you're thinking because I'm not a mind reader. I was upfront with you and I don't think I haven't been since then. Yeah, I've had a few slip ups here and there, but we talk about it. We get frustrated with each other and we talk about it because at the end of the day, if we go to bed angry, then it doesn't make for a great morning. It makes for a worse morning. You went to bed angry. I think we've done that one time. We woke up and we immediately talked. We've only done it one time because if we hadn't spoken, if we hadn't communicated with each other and really laid out what we were thinking, then it just causes tension between us and it's not enjoyable at all. I didn't get into a relationship to fight with you. I got into a relationship to create a life with you.
I agree with that. And one thing that I noticed that we both do is we whenever we're confronted with like a difficult subject, or we have a disagreement of sorts, we always enter the conversation with love first and foremost. Like, I love you first and foremost, and that will never change. And so now with that at the forefront, now let's talk X, Y, and Z. And it really helps. I think it really helps to set that like mental reminder that at the end of the day, what matters most here is this beautiful, amazing, loving relationship that we have that we want forever, right? And then everything within that umbrella is just so minor in the grand scheme of things. And when you come into a conversation with love, you find that you're often a better listener. You can be more forgiving. You can be more understanding and more patient. And ultimately, you will likely have less disputes or arguments or disagreements in the grand scheme of things because you're coming in with a completely different attitude at the forefront.
Yeah, I think we have to like work. You have to remind yourself that you're working together, not against each other. And sometimes you have to be the first one to either apologize or to say like, hey, we need to address this and we need to talk about it because there's no reason to like let it keep building up. Like, we're working together. We love each other. We respect each other. And it's not going to get better until we address it.
Can we talk about openness and honesty? Because I have found in all sorts of relationships, you know, whether it's significant others, coworkers, friends, family, anything, not everyone is so direct or open or forward with you. And it seems to be like that seems to be where miscommunication stems from across the board. And so I just want to hear everyone's thoughts on, you know, I question this. I think for one, when I'm not as open or honest up front is because I'm tiptoeing. I'm like, I'm not so sure if I can be raw with you right now. So I'm addressing something, but I haven't truly told you. And then days later, we're having to revisit the same conversation because I didn't fully like articulate or like I didn't fully clarify what I intended to share.
What did I do?
No. We've had this too. Absolutely. And we definitely had to revisit a conversation, and I have found that I needed to better explain myself. You know, sometimes I have a hard time articulating what I'm thinking. And so maybe like the first round wasn't so great and we thought we were good. We thought we both were on the same page. And then it's like, actually, no, like, did you not, like, we're not on the same page. So,
yeah, you got to talk to me like I'm 5 years old. So I get it.
I think it's just, well, being willing, I mean, definitely being willing to just go back and have that conversation. But going back to, like, what I was saying earlier, like, what are your guys' thoughts on that? I feel like that's a common denominator. I think I see a lot of people do that.
I think it's difficult to be open and honest with people when you know that they're not willing to listen. I think that's the hardest part, because it doesn't matter how much you can set it up to say, hey, I just need you to listen to what I have to say. I'm going to say some things that may hurt. But it doesn't matter how much you, like, set it up. If they haven't been the person historically to hear you out, much less care about what you have to say, then it kind of puts you in a position where it's like, is it even worth saying anything? You know, I can think of one time with one of my family members where I was just straight up. I was like, what is up with this situation? What's going on? Did I do something wrong? Because this just isn't, I just feel like I'm being attacked and something, and I don't feel like I disrespected anybody. And my family member's response was, look, if you have a problem, you need to address it with this person. And my response was, but I don't think there's a problem. I didn't realize that there was a problem. But I also didn't feel comfortable going out to this person and saying, hey, what's your problem with me? Because historically, they never proved to be that kind of person that would listen and have something meaningful to say. They were more like, just brush it off. Okay, whatever. Instead of having something more substantive to say. I don't know, with more substance, whatever. I don't know if that's even a word, but yeah. What about you guys?
I think sometimes going to other people that have insight, more insight, or have a better relationship with that person can give you, like, an idea of how to address it with that person, on how to approach it. Or if it's something that you don't really care to address, I guess, then you just, like, let it go. If it's not, if you know they're not going to be, like, they're not going to take it well, then it's up to you to decide if it's even worth it, really. And you could either drop it or...
And I think that's one thing that I've changed, because before, like, it didn't matter. Like, I would just, like, address it. But now, like, I don't want to waste my time and energy on things that, like, don't matter. So that applies to the person, the relationship that I have with that person, because if that relationship is not or no longer significant to me, then to me it's like, no, I'm not going to address anything. It is what it is, type of thing. But I'm an observer. I love to read the room and just kind of get a feel for people to see, like, you know, where they're at. Even people that I don't even know or I just met, like, I'm not going to open myself up, like, right away. You know, it's just going to be like a progression type of situation where that's where, you know, I'm going to get an understanding if I can or can't, like, or if there's any issues that come up in the future where I'm going to even bother having that discussion.
Speaking of reading the room, nonverbal cues. How do you communicate with people that are clearly displaying nonverbal cues? I'll give you some examples. Are you doing okay? Yeah. There wasn't too much communication, or you sense the vibe, you sense something in their body language, and it's clear that it's they're not okay, or something's not right, or we're not all on the same page.
It's like, oh, we know. I know what that means.
But I think also if people don't want to talk about it and they are, like, closed off, and you can't read somebody's mind, you know, and you can't, like, keep asking if they're not giving you anything back in return, you know? And I think some things are just worth, like, letting go. And there's other things or people that are worth fixing and fighting for those relationships or friendships. And there's some that are just, like, it's only a one-way street, so it may not be something that's worth fixing moving forward.
Yeah, it's like our circle is small. Like, and that's because like we want those type of friends that have the integrity, you know, be able to have like really good conversations with. And to be honest, I mean, it's just, you know, those relationships that we weren't able to get that from, either they've been cut off or transitioning to no longer be in existence. Which sucks, but you know, as a, you know, you always continue to grow, I think. And there comes a time where the communication is just not there anymore. And I think that's just really when you call it.
Are there relationships that you guys have that have either, let me go back. Are there relationships that you guys have that you have kept alive, even though distance is an issue, or, you know, you haven't spoken in a couple of months or years? Like, for example, I have one of my closest friends, my best friend, my brother from another mother. He lives in Austin, and we don't see each other rarely, if not for, you know, a couple of birthday occasions or random, hey, let's go camp out, you know, type of thing. But I know that relationship, we definitely built it off, and we there was a good foundation for many years before, you know, we branched off. But that's definitely a relationship that I've kept alive. And even though we can't read each other's minds, I know that the love and support is still there, despite the fact that we're miles and apart. And I know I can just pick up the phone and talk to him like it was yesterday, even though I know that there's, you know, probably 1,000 things that have happened in his life, just like have happened in my life. Are there things like that you guys have?
Yes. So two of my longest, like my best friends, are literally 25 to 30 years of friendship. Like, they have been my best friends since kindergarten and since fourth grade. And it has never mattered how far we've lived from each other, what stage in life we were in. It's just always been like, I don't know, a feeling of like respect, of not taking anything personal. But at the same time, we've all made like even the smallest gesture to check in on each other, to keep those relationships alive. And it doesn't take long, or it doesn't take a lot to do that. It could be a simple text, a simple little meme that said something funny that they thought about you. It could be the smallest thing. And you know that everybody's making that effort. And so, yes, those are...
I think it's the proactiveness to want to communicate with someone. Like, I think that's what... It doesn't matter how many miles apart you are, or how many hours, you know, the fact that there's still like a check-in and wanting to communicate, like, you know, that's, I know Myra has friends like that. I have friends like that too. I mean, I don't have that many, but I have, well, actually one, they're both married and they live in Austin too. Where, you know, we just stay in touch, and he's a longtime friend since like junior high. And it's just that it's mutual, you know what I mean? Like Myra said, it takes like a couple minutes to send a text message, and it's just been a continued thing over the years where you don't lose touch.
Or even if you're not in the everyday things, you know, like but in the big moments, like they're in your wedding, they show up, like whether it's through a gift or through a text or whatever, when you have a baby, like big moments in your life, you know, that they reach out or they're a part of. I think that's big.
I think something I'm gathering from this that I just realized is that communication is reflecting where you are in life. Because if you think about it, like those people that are, if you think about it in phases in your life, like who you're speaking to, who you're around, is it all ties together. And the stronger the better communication you have with specific people, those are obviously going to be the better friends, the better, you know, people who are around you, the people that love you and are invested in your life and what's going on in the day to day. And when you don't have good communication with someone, it just separates that individual. It ends a relationship, whatever that relationship may be. And so something to really think about.
All of us. Yeah. Like we've either been, you know, married or have kids or are going to school and getting a master's or whatever, and we're still able to make time and communicate with one another. So I think like that goes to show too that even though you are busy, these people have been a priority in your life.
Yeah. So just a quick word for everybody. If you haven't done it today, send that friend a text message, send that mom, send that dad, that text message, that voice message through WhatsApp or whatever social media you use or messaging system you use. And to all the chismosos and chismosas out there, we'll see you next time.